Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. It's been quite the eventful day. And I've been telling you ever since I went on the air that my heart is bursting with pride at what's going on in our region today.
Dear members of media, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
As a bunch of construction workers in downtown Seattle, as Sawant tried to continue her job-killing, socialist-slash-communist propaganda, every time she tried to talk.
I make an appeal to my brothers in the labor movement. As you know, I'm also a rank-and-file member of the labor movement.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Hey, you know what, Kishama? I think your brothers are trying to kick you out of the family. I think they're disowning you. I think that's what we're hearing this afternoon. And all of this is happening. The people of this region are coalescing with what. Have I even done The Big Lead open yet, Sean? I'm so excited here.
You have not, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey, yeah, because that'll really put a fine tip on everything I have to say.
The Big Lead, top story.
I don't know why I needed that. You know, people like Mike O'Brien has never come on the show. We've invited him 30 times, never has come on the show. Durkin, the new mayor, several invitations, never come on the show. Sawant, come on twice. Last time she hung up on me because I called out her hypocrisy. I called out how she stands with people. And I'd love to have her on again because she had a soundbite yesterday where she said, well, we're only asking Amazon for $20 million a year out of the $75 million they want to raise. And she said they could easily afford to pay double or quadruple that. And I'd love to have Sawant on. Sawant, who bought her home, according to county property tax records that I accessed, bought her home for about $350,000. Now its assessed value is between $800,000 and $900,000, and its actual value is likely much higher than that in the Leschi neighborhood there. If her criteria is Amazon can afford to pay more, well, she could easily sell her house, live on the $40,000 a year that the average worker makes in Seattle that she pledged would be all she would live on. She could easily afford to give her $500,000 home equity to whatever wondrous homeless cause she thinks will make a dent in the problem here. And I'd love to ask her that. If your criteria is, well, Amazon could afford to pay that, so could you. But who does she give her money to? Thanks to that great blogger, SCC Insight, who's a watchdog of the Seattle City Council, she gives her money to 15 Now and Socialist Alternative. And the money she gives to those groups, well, they hired her husband and pay him about the same amount that she gives to them. Oh, they also fly her and her husband around the country to all these events. So the money she gives is just returned to her in a spouse's salary and in travel for her and her spouse. Why don't you sell your house? You believe in all this, Sawant. Sell your house, cash in your $500,000 equity. I'm sure your net worth is far more than that because your previous husband was a six-figure Microsoft guy. You phony hypocrite. You stinking liar. Why don't you just liquidate stuff and give it away? If that's your criteria, if you can afford it, you should do it, right? So let's go through chronologically what has been an absolutely transformative last 24 hours in this region. And I do keep saying region very purposely because, well, the tip of the spear today is Seattle. We got to get things back in Bremerton and Olympia and Tacoma and Everett and Snohomish and Mount Vernon. I mean, this is a region-wide problem, and I'll give you a perfect example. You know, down in Olympia two nights ago, right after May Day, a bunch of these masked Antifa people, they went through town. Some of the banks in Olympia that had put plywood over their windows, but Rob Munoz at our news partners, Cairo 7, talked about what happened at the U.S. Bank in Olympia two nights ago.
We heard this was happening just after 11 o'clock. And windows were smashed at this U.S. Bank branch, and some graffiti was sprayed on the walls. And no one was arrested in this violence because, again, police say the 10 to 20 people, again, ran away as soon as their officers arrived.
And why is this happening? For the same reason it's happening everywhere else. Because people have elected cowardly city officials who allow crime to run rampant. Whether it's people smashing bank windows in Olympia or people shooting up heroin in front of cops here in Seattle. But I'm keeping my eye on everybody in this region, including in our state capital.
Police said they weren't able to arrest anyone here. They say when they showed up here, the windows were already smashed. The people had run away. This is a U.S. bank branch here in downtown Olympia.
Yeah. Cops have been told by city leadership, by all these cowards who have been elected all around the region, they've been told to depolice. And so that was a couple nights ago. And then, of course, yesterday, as we were on the air, that bombshell announcement from Amazon that said, we're going to suspend hiring and construction if you go through with this crazy head tax. The reason they're going to suspend it is because we're already spending more than any city in the United States on homelessness. More money will not help at all. Last night in Ballard, my old hood, there was a town meeting. And you know this guy who got up to speak is a listener to this show because of the way he refers to former Mayor Ed Murray.
We do not trust you anymore. You have lied to us about the cost of Pronto, the First Avenue streetcar, the bike lanes, the pension for an accused child rapist. All right? And now Amazon are going to start packing up and leaving because of you guys. Why should we trust you?
That's been one of my missions, that as long as we, the taxpayer, because I've said you got to take back language, right? This isn't a homelessness problem. This is a drug addiction problem that we have around here. But you have the far left has decided to try to seize language, to phony up everything. And part of taking back the language is, hey, as long as we're giving Ed Murray a six-figure pension for the rest of his miserable, godforsaken life, he will always be accused child rapist. Ed Murray. And the fact that that has become part of the public lexicon and on display at that meeting last night, I love it. We're going to take back the language, you and me, when all these people are going to try to use words to try to cover up what they are really doing. We'll use real language that has real life meaning. Mike O'Brien showed how out of touch he was last night when he advised crime victims.
Ready? Go. If property crime is committed, violence is committed, you need to call 911 and the police.
Call 911. And when the police will say, yeah, that happens all the time. We can't do anything. I know that. My daughter lives in the city. She's been the victim of a theft. I know so many of my listeners, my former producer Jake, was on the phone with 911 watching a crew breaking car windows in front of his Green Lake apartment that he lived in at the time. On the phone, I see a guy smashing windows. There's a guy next to him with a bicycle with a trailer to haul away what they're stealing from these cars. We're watching. Other neighbors called. We called the next day to see. Yeah, they had five 911 calls from neighbors at 3:30 in the morning who said, yeah, we're watching them right now. Police never showed up. So, Mike O'Brien, don't tell the constituents to call 911. They know that your smarmy lies have no connection to the real world now. And, oh, my goodness, he tried to get Stern last night.
I am not going to allow...
You're not going to allow what? They booed you down before you could finish that sentence. Now, there was a woman there who supported the head tax. And, oh, she made such a great analogy of what Amazon is like.
Hello, my name is Susan Helfe. I'm a member of this church. I have never been at a public meeting in my life that I've seen so much disrespect shown to the people giving a presentation.
Giving the presentation, Mike O'Brien and his staffers, his hangers-on, they wanted a little propaganda. They were going to say, yeah, give us more money and we'll make it better. We're giving you more than any city in the country. It's gotten worse. Doesn't matter. 75 million more. We'll make it better. Because Mike O'Brien laughs at everything. Laughs at everything.
I want to commend the city council for taking up the head tax. All of you who are concerned, don't count this against my minutes. All of you who are concerned about crime in your neighborhood, there's crime in my neighborhood too. I'm also concerned. You think that rather than having your property taxes increase, you would want to tax rich people. Blaming the poor. No! I see. I see. Okay. So, blaming poor people for what's going on is like blaming Syrian refugees for ISIS. Amazon is ISIS.
Can you believe that? Amazon is ISIS. And I don't hear anybody blaming poor people for what's going on, unless the drug addicts are poor. I blame two groups of people. The drug addicts who refuse any assistance whatsoever and are breaking into cars, breaking into homes, assaulting people, raping people. University of Washington student was raped by a homeless guy last year. Our friend was brutally attacked in the bathroom at Golden Gardens while out on a training run in the middle of the afternoon by a guy who came here from elsewhere in the country. We're not blaming poor people. We're blaming drug addicts who refuse treatment, who have made the street their lifestyle of choice, who do not want any services and are breaking into homes and cars. I'm blaming them, but even more, I'm blaming our politicians because they have created this problem. They have made Seattle and the Puget Sound region the worst region in the country for the drug-addicted homeless crisis. And so, this lady can, say whatever she wants, that people are blaming poor people, but we're not. We're not. We're blaming politicians and drug addicts.
You think that rather than having your property taxes increase, you would want to tax rich people. Blaming the poor. No!
Why? What is this mania that more money will equal better results? That again, the definition of insanity there.
I see. I see. Okay. So blaming poor people for what's going on is like blaming Syrian refugees for ISIS. Amazon is ISIS.
Amazon is ISIS. That's the kind of rhetoric you're hearing from the other side. And, last night when Mike O'Brien tried to bring up the 911, I love this.
Do you understand that the police have told us to vote you all out so that they can do their jobs? And you're telling us to call 911? You're smiling. You think it's funny? You think it's funny the way we're living?
That's what I can't believe about Mike O'Brien. He smiles his way through it. And Mike, maybe it's a defense mechanism, but it's the same smarminess he brings to everything. Women are getting raped. Children, little girls are being turned out by pimps so that they can feed the drug habit. In these homeless encampments, little girls are being raped. Women attacked. Heroin needles everywhere. youth coach volunteers have to build an extra half hour into every day so that they can pick up heroin needles on their kids' soccer and football and baseball and softball fields. And Mike O'Brien smiles through all of that. And then just continuing the chronology of this last 24 hours, a remarkable 24 hours in our region's history. And I'll be really honest with you. You know, sometimes I do feel like I'm just banging my head against the wall because I know that I'm a lone voice in the wilderness, in the media landscape here. And to hear the people at that Ballard Town Hall, and I know some of them were my listeners, some of them are just people who have had it. And maybe they're finally starting to get what I've been talking about for years here. But to hear the region saying, we're going to take it back. We're going to stand up against the crazies. And then this thing in downtown Seattle today with the construction workers in Sewant was one of the most beautiful things I've heard in a long, long time.
Would one of my brothers like to come and speak here rather than drumming us out? Can we hear each other out?
So Sewant, whose cronies drown people out every chance they get, she doesn't like it when she's on the other side.
Please come and speak.
I think I've seen you guys drown people out before, so I'm going to repeat.
No, we haven't drowned anyone
else. No head tax! 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 No head tax!
Would you like to say something beyond that? You can come and speak here, and then we will say our piece after you.
Yeah, would you like to say anything beyond that, construction workers?
Okay, for a moment. From
no
different sections
tax.
Of the labor movement.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Sisters and brothers.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Amazon issued a threat yesterday.
I got so many listeners who say they're going to make this their new ringtone.
They halted a construction of their new tower.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Holding hostage 7,000 to 8,000 construction jobs.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
And these are the construction workers. I love you guys. I love you guys and what you did today. Because you're real world. You're the people who are the good blue-collar, middle-class earners. And you know what a dangerous ideologue Sewant is and what she's going to do to this region if her ideas were to take root. Now today, for the first time, we see that it's not going to happen. We're taking it back. And I got to skip forward. I know I'm running a little late. But Sewant decided to just try to power through while they're chanting. And they say, no head tax. And in between the word tax and no head tax again, Sewant, you can just barely hear one syllable at a time from her. This is beautiful.
I agree with my brother.
No head tax!
That homelessness
no head
is not
tax!
An issue.
No head tax!
But I don't
no
agree
head tax!
That
no head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Amazon
no head tax! No head tax!
Drivers.
No head tax!
Paid
no head tax!
Wages.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Sing it loud and sing it proud, my brothers and sisters. Great day in Seattle. You construction workers, I love all of you and what you did downtown today. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Osmadio coming up right after Ursula checks the news. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
text message from the 206. I want to share this with you. My name is Keith. I was a drug addict who lost everything. My house, car, family, and one of the best jobs I'd ever had. I got clean on my own, and Amazon gave me a great job with benefits, which helped me get housing again. They're an amazing company. They drug test potential employees, even gave me stock. If you'd like to share my story, I'd encourage you to do so. This head tax makes me angry. You are local politicians' worst nightmare, Keith. Somebody who is now self-sufficient, somebody who dealt with tremendous challenges, and I do know, and I don't ever want to. Look, I grew up in the household with an alcoholic dad and saw a lot of alcoholism on both sides of my family, and I will never diminish the grip and the impact of that disease on people's lives. And some can get clean on their own, some need help. I want to provide help. I want us as taxpayers to provide help to everybody who wants it. But Keith, you're their worst nightmare because you are no longer reliant on government, if you ever were, for your being. And that is the real insidious evil of Michael Bryan, Shyam Sawant, Deborah Juarez, Sally Bagshaw. Yeah, I can go down the whole council list. That's the real evil, is they would rather have people drug addicted on the streets and in need of government services that they can raise taxes for. They would rather have that than stories like yours. And I truly believe that. And I know that on a personal level because I grew up in poverty. And the reason the far left hates me so much in my show is because I'm their worst nightmare. That I have this message of no government or as little government as possible. Government's a social safety net. Government's necessary for our, our defense and our parks and the things that there's no profit motive in. But it's not good for much else. And that's my message. And people on the far left despise people, especially ones who, like you, Keith, who have gotten from a horrible situation with drugs to a wondrous one now, or me, where, horrible situation financially as a kid into, one, beyond what I could have ever reasonably dreamed of. People like you, Keith, are their worst nightmare. And that's why there is such vitriol for anybody who doesn't buy the whole government line. Okay, we've talked about all this stuff so much today. The one thing, this is usually our awesome audio. I'm not going to do all our awesome audio elements. I haven't even mentioned the huge news from the world of baseball that Ichiro is done. And it just proves, Ursula, the one always undefeated is Father Time. Mm. I mean, he said he wanted to play till he was 50.
Yep.
I said I want to play basketball till I'm 70. I don't know.
You know what I love about this story, though, that he's not going to be leaving Seattle and that they are going to find a different role for him, or they have found a different role for him, and then he'll be able to do it gracefully instead of, just reading about Ichiro, it sounds like he's, for as much talent as he has, he's so tortured.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so like, he's got severe OCD or something. I mean,
hey,
where
getting
he's just
old
got
sucks.
To,
I don't like it at all, and I know Ichiro doesn't like it.
Well, but you know what? You know, it's going to happen to all of us, and we need to embrace this whole thing about
going
aging.
To happen.
Yes.
It's happening. future tense.
And lucky us, those of us who get to get
exactly.
old, right?
It beats the alternative. It gives me one more chance to play one of my all-time favorite sound bites from my mentor and dear, dear friend, Dave Niehaus, one of the great play-by-play calls of all time.
Terrence Long is lead over at first. Here comes a 3-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and a ground ball punched into right field for a base hit. So heading to third base is Long. The throw to third base, and it got him nailed at third base on a tremendous throw by Ichiro. I'm here to tell you that Ichiro threw something out of Star Wars.
Oh, that's the man right there. Today's sign coming up next. the stretch we come. What a day. What a show. What a show. What a day. We're going to start swinging things back here, you guys. I feel it. Things have gotten as crazed as they possibly can throughout our entire region. And the people are standing up against it. And I'll have more to say about that in just a couple of minutes. All right, but before I get out of here, it is time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. My family used to have a house on the Columbia River over by Chelan. A little vacation getaway. And one evening, we were sitting on our neighbor's patio, and our girls were playing ping pong in the neighbor's garage with their boys. And all of a sudden, they came running out, and they said, there's a snake in the garage. And so my neighbor and I both go into the garage to see, and it was a little rattlesnake. And I didn't realize that little rattlesnakes are... very poisonous. More venomous than the adults. Or at least that's what I heard. Don't sue me if that's wrong. But that's what I heard. And so my neighbor, who's a cop, he got a rake. And he started just scooting this little baby rattlesnake all the way down his long driveway. And there was an open alfalfa field right across from our houses on the non-water side. And I'm saying to him, I said, don't you think we should just kill it? Because a baby rattlesnake's going to grow up into an adult rattlesnake, and I don't really want adult rattlesnakes around us. Although that's, you know, part and parcel with having a place over there in Douglas County. We're on the Douglas County side of the river there. And I thought about that when I saw this story about a 57-year-old guy from Oklahoma. He was out with family. They were on their way to his birthday celebration. And Barry Lester was driving his pickup truck down the road when he saw a rattlesnake right in the middle of the highway. And so Barry pulled over to the side of the road, and he walked up to the rattlesnake. He'd a lot of experience dealing with rattlesnakes. He had grabbed them many times over the years, grab them right behind the head. But this one was a little feistier than most. Barry Lester's a former rodeo calf roper. He'd had all kinds of experience with snakes. But the young adult snake, it was 42 inches long. I would never, ever walk up to a 42-inch snake. That is a different breed of cat that is capable of doing that. He walked up to the 42-inch long snake and grabbed it behind its head, but the snake twisted its head and plunged its fangs into Barry's left hand. Then he transferred the snake into his right hand, and the snake bit him a second time, according to Barry's widow. Yeah. He dumped the snake into an empty toolbox in the bed of his pickup truck, and then they rushed him home to meet an ambulance his family had called. But Barry died as a result of the rattlesnake bites. Now, he did this because the rattlesnake was sitting in the middle of the road, and he didn't want it to get run over because he believes that they help control the rodent population. He didn't want it to be killed. But the rattlesnake turned on him like a rattlesnake. And that's a sad, sad ending for that 57, on his birthday, too. And then there's this story in India, and there's video of this. And I'm not going to play the audio for you because it's just a bunch of people screaming in Hindi. But a taxi driver in India was driving down the road with a couple of fares, and they saw a bear by the side of the road. And so with the passengers waiting, the taxi cab driver decided, I want to go take a selfie with that bear. The bear was wounded. And so he said, oh, that'd be a good selfie. And so the passengers in the back of the taxi, they recorded the video. The bear, of course, attacks the taxi cab driver. Prabhu Batera was his name. And there's horrific video. The bear is swinging its claws at him and clamping down on the guy. And the taxi cab driver died from that. The bear was, already injured. Didn't want any humans coming by. And so here's your bottom line. This is our today's sign parable. You see a rattlesnake or a bear while you're driving down the road? Just keep driving, for crying out loud. All right, I'm going to close today's show because I do think these are triumphant times, and I'm going to close today's show the way we opened it today. Born at Ballard Hospital, raised in the city, lived in the area my entire life. And what I have seen is the steady but sure decline of this region into lunacy. The lunacy of the extreme left. And what we have been seeing the last couple of weeks, and that came to a point last night, is the people of this region finally are willing to stand up and take back our region. Instead of just running away. And I mentioned yesterday, I get all these emails every day. You hate everything around here, why don't you just leave? Because I'd rather be part of the salvation of this region. And what we're seeing is the people, the homeowners, the family people who have had it with the heroin needles, who have had it with the property crimes, the car prowls, drug addicts everywhere, tents and cardboard boxes and tarps everywhere. They're speaking loud and clear to the lunacy of the politicians around here. And of course, the next test is going to be, are people going to run for office who are willing to continue taking back our region from the socialists slash communists who are firmly entrenched in Seattle government and the socialists slash extreme left that occupy all the rest of Puget Sound area government. But it is time. The time is now to stop all the madness of the Kishama Sawants and Mike O'Briens, the Dow Constantines, Rob Johnson, all these liars who will say anything to try to get more of our money, who use the sad plight of drug-addicted homeless to try to hijack money from the business community. A few weeks ago, I wrote on my blog, the pendulum has swung as far as it's going to go. I knew that people weren't going to take any more of this nonsense. We're not gonna take it anymore. By the way, for all of my listeners who showed up at that Mike O'Brien Ballard town hall last night, great job. Great job making your voice heard. Not turning things over to the loons. I'm proud of you. All right, we're going to keep up the fight, too. This is a region-wide fight. We got battles in Olympia and Pierce County, Snohomish County. We're just not going to stop fighting. That's going to do it for us today. Ron and Don coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, Nim. Head up.
You're a terrible interviewer.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.